Marcus Sahaba Online Radio, serving you wherever you are.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Alhamdulillah, nahmaduhu wa nusalli ala rasulil kareem. Esteemed listeners of Sirius FM and Marcus Sahaba, we say ahlan wa sahlan wa marhaba. We welcome you to this program, Al-Fiqhu ala al-Madhahib al-Arba'ah, Jurisprudence according to the four schools of thought. Today being the 13th Dhul Qadah 1442, corresponding to the date 24th June 2021. Today's topic is on talaq, and our beloveds can send their questions to the number 084-786-3132. And if you're in a foreign country, it's +2784-786-3132. We have our Honorable Mufti Sapia, Mufti AK Sahib, Damat Barakatuh, Mufti Sab, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaykum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Barakallahu feekum, Mawlana Zahid Khan. MashaAllah, today is the 13th of Zulqa'dah 1442. Tonight will be Laylatul Badr and Laylatul Jumu'ah. Laylatul Badr means the full moon after Maghrib, after Isha. Scan the sky and witness the beauty of the creation of Almighty Allah Jalla Wala. That is the richness, the glory, the beauty, the style, the diction of the Arabic language. Every three nights, remember that we have a different name for the moon. And on the 14th night, mashallah, it's known as the Laylatul Badr. And it is Laylatul Jumu'ah, the night of Friday. So we should be sending the greatest gift for the best of Allah's creation on the best night and best day of the week. And that is abundant durood sharif, salawat, salutations upon Nabiul Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. May Allah jalla wala grant us tawfiq.
Mufti Sab, as you always advise that we should go back to Quran and Hadith. So what does Quran and Hadith say of talaq?
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Nahmaduhu wa nusalli ala rasulihi al-kareem. Amma ba'd. All praise is due to Almighty Allah, the sustainer, nourisher, and cherisher of the universe. Peace, blessings, and salutations be upon our beloved master and leader, Nabi Muhammad Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Alhamdulillah, when a Muslim couple gets married, nikah is performed. So it's a happy occasion. Both parties, both families are elated and delighted. And every normal person would want that marriage must stay alive and it must not break for whatever reason. And therefore, after the nikah, we meet the couple, meaning that the man will meet the groom, the woman will meet the bride, and the hadith is authentic in Abu Dawood. We say, Barakallahu lak, wa barakallahu alayk, wa jama'a baynakuma fil khair, that Allah grant you barakah and blessings from all directions. Allah keep the two of you in khair and goodness, whatever a normal human being would relish, cherish, provided that it is permissible. So that is the dua. Or in our vernacular and our mother tongue, we will say, Allah Ta'ala keep the jori salamat, Allah Ta'ala keep the union always alive, and so forth. But we have to also face reality, people's tabiat, people's outlook in life, their temperament and so forth is different. So in a case like that, what happens is you find that then there is rows and ructions between husband and wife. Now what happens in a case like that where the wife is wrong, that she does not want to read salah daily, she doesn't want to dress modestly, she just wants to watch the TV and sleep and dream or go shopping and so forth. So in a case like that, Almighty Allah addresses us. Surah 4, Surah Nisa, and verse number 34 and 35. Easy reference, chapter 4, verse 34, 35. وَاللَّاتِي تَخَافُونَ نُشُوزَهُنَّ. You the husbands, when you have such wives that you fear that they are disrespectful, disobedient, rebelliousness. Now always remember that these remedial measures are between husband and wife only. Nobody should know about it. فَعِذُوهُنَّ. Speak to her in a very polite, kind, courteous manner. Was, that is the beauty of the Arabic language. You should always analyze it, study the philology, history of it. Waaz means tariqiqul qulub, that you speak to her in such a manner where you let her heart melt. So tell her, oh darling, oh poppy, oh sweetheart, whatever. So in that way you try and win her heart over. So that's the first measure. She still doesn't listen and she is obstinate and stubborn and so forth. Second measure will be وَهْجُرُوهُنَّ فِي الْمَضَاجِ. Hijra, hajar. Hajar means to cut off. So you cut the beds. What it means, it don't mean you take a saw and you cut the bed, Allah forbid. It means that you withhold the conjugal relationship. You don't fulfill her conjugal rights. So she will know and understand that you, the husband, are upset. But the problem in today's world, you tell the husband that, then they start getting busy with their secretary and girlfriend and all. So obviously all that is haram. So yeah, it means that for that one day, one week, one month, that you sever ties in this sense with your wife, you speak to her, but you will not fulfill a conjugal relationship. And either you sleep in a different room, or even if you sleep in the same bed, so she must know that you are upset with her and so forth. Still, she does not listen. She's obstinate, stubborn. Wadribuhun. Wadribuhun don't mean that you can assault your wife and wife battering and assaulting. That's totally haram in Islam. This means that with a miswak or a ruler, you tap her hand and you tell her that, you know what, you better start changing and so forth and so on. There must be no scars, there must be no marks and all this type of thing. In today's world, they call that shock therapy. So it shows that these three measures, you must remember, is between husband and wife. Nobody else should know about it. In the confines of the bedroom, it should be. Thereafter, still she does not listen. And now you bring in outside help. This is al-marhalatul rabi'ah, the fourth step now. So now the marriage, things are going from bad to worse, the condition is deteriorating. Surah 4, verse number 35. So Almighty Allah states, وَإِنْ خِفْتُمْ شِقَاقَ بَيْنِهِمَا. Where you fear now the marriage is on breaking point, you are the 11th hour. فَبَأَثُوا حَكَمًا مِّنْ أَهْلِهِ وَحَكَمًا مِّنْ أَهْلِهَا. Then you appoint an arbitrator from his side and an arbitrator from her side, because Islam is based on justice. So what should be the aim of the arbitrators? I had an uncle, and funny enough, today I was thinking of him, you know, that, you know, how many marriages he solved like this. And lo and behold, he passed away on a night of Friday while making dua, you know, in a musalla. So it shows that this was a good deed he really did, you know. So you become an arbitrator, and not you go in that meeting with the intention of torna and breaking. Nay, even at the 11th hour, you go into that meeting, iyurida islaha. You go with the intention of reconciliation. No, we can make this marriage work with the help of Allah, with the mercy of Allah. So Allah says, yuwaffiqillahu baynahuma. Allah's tawfiq will come. Allah will let you utter and say the right words. Allah Ta'ala will soften the hearts. So imagine. Then you speak of talaq. So which step is talaq? Talaq is step number 5. But the ummah today are ignorant. They will tell you the husband gave talaq in anger. They will tell you the husband gave talaq, you must remember, because he was under some, you understand, spell or whatever, you just looking for excuses and so forth. It's like a person, you know, he made wudu on a cold winter's day, and now the wudu broke. Now he doesn't want to make wudu again, so he looks for every excuse to say, no, this happened. happened, this happened. So similarly, the Ummah today, when you ask them, by you are married, do you know the masail, the rules and the regulations regarding talaq and divorce? 90%, 80% are unaware, and then they want to use every loophole they can find. So everything of Islam, we must fulfill our duty with beauty. That is now where the wife is the rebellious one. But what happened where the husband, he's having affair upon affair, and you must remember he's not interested in his wife, and you know the sparkle is gone. So what happens in that case? So Almighty Allah addresses that as well. وَإِنْ إِمْرَأَةٌ خَافَتْ مِنْ بَعْلِهَا نُشُوزًا أَوْ إِعْرَاضًا. In the same surah, chapter 4 and verse number 128. Chapter 4, verse 128. So where the husband, he is disobedient, that he is, you must remember, not paying the nafaqah, maintenance, or rather, he's deserting his wife. He's more interested in his secretary or neighbor's daughter, neighbor's wife, Allah forbid. فَلَا جُنَاهَ عَلَيْهِمَا أَيُّسْلِحَ بَيْنَهُمَا صُلْحًا. In this case, Allah Ta'ala says, you the wife, you should try your level best to still make the home. Why? Because it's not your life only. Most of the time, that it'll be your life, and there'll be ma'asum, innocent children involved as well. وَالصُلْحُ خَيْرٌ. And reconciliation is the best. But for reconciliation, both parties have to make compromises. وَأُحْذِرَتِ الْأَنفُسُ الشُّحُ. And both parties want to stick to their guns. They'll come, they know, I can't negotiate on this, that's non-negotiable. So that will not work. So what we tell them, both of you write down that what are the real main problems, leave out all the petty issues, and now let us start reconciling and compromising. So everybody should try that. And obviously, if things don't work, then the hadith of Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and that is mentioned, you must remember, in Abu Dawood, and his authentic hadith, أَبْغَدُ الْحَلَالِ إِلَى اللَّهِ الطَّلَاقِ. The most hated and detested thing by Almighty Allah, which Allah made permissible, is talaq. And therefore, if you read Surah 65, it's entitled Surah Talaq. It shows us what to do, how to do, and so forth. So Islam is a complete and comprehensive code of life. It will give us directives and guidelines for the happy occasions. But likewise, it will tell us what to do if and when a talaq takes place. And we should be the ones that always tell both parties, don't go for that option. Always try and make jurna and not torna. Always try and save the home and make the home. Don't break the home. That should be the last resort. That is always our message.
Mufti Sahib, what are the types of talaq?
Remember, types of talaq, you get various types. Almighty Allah speaks of it in the Noble Quran. If you open Surah 2, verse 229, you will find Almighty Allah states, At-talaqu marratan. So I will use the Arabic word and the English word to make life easy. The first one will be called talaqu raj'i. So raja, you say inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. So there it means the husband issued the talaq, whether in writing or verbally, and you know, he pronounced it, he announced it. It's better to have witnesses. But even if there's no witnesses, the talaq is still valid according to all four schools. The Shafi'is, the Malikis, the Hanafis, the Hanbalis, taking this day and this age. This morning, today, I had a question one lady wrote, her husband, you understand, sent her a talaq via WhatsApp. So now the husband sent it, the wife received it, so she's asking, is it valid? There's no witnesses. So I said, no, 100% is valid. Your husband sent it, he's admitting to it, and so forth. So it shows when we say wrote it, it don't mean only one pen and paper. Nowadays writing can have a broad connotation. It could be email, it could be SMS, it could be WhatsApp. So many different ways it could be, or he announced it, pronounced it in front of you. So are you not there also? So then also, so if he gave one talaq in any language, and that word is a clear-cut word, so like talaq or divorce and all words like that, so whether he made intention or not, we will say one talaq is valid. So you call that raj'i. So what does it mean? فَإِمْسَاكُمْ بِمَعْرُوفٍ أَوْ تَسْرِيحٌ بِإِحْسَانٍ. In English, you will call it revocable divorce. What's the meaning revocable? During the iddat period, he, the husband, can take back the wife without تَجْدِيدُ nikah, without making a new marriage and so forth. Almighty Allah states that وَبُؤُولَتُهُنَّ أَحَقُّ بِرَدِّهِنَّ فِي ذَلِكَ أَرَادُوا إِصْلَاحًا. So the husband has the right of taking her back. So if he gave her one talaq, so now if he takes her back during the iddat, no new nikah is required, then he has two talaqs still left in the bank, still 2 years. If he gave her two talaqs, then remember he only has one left. Now what is the iddat period? Quran Kareem speaks of this in Surah 2 and verses number 227 to 28, all you will find. So Almighty Allah states, وَالْمُطَلَّقَاتُ يَتَرَبَّصْنَ بِأَنفُسِهِنَّ ثَلَاثَةَ قُرُوءٍ. Which means that when the husband issued the talaq, so the waiting period, iddat period for the woman, for the lady, is 3 quru. The Hanafis and Hanbali say 3 quru means 3 menses. So when you give talaq, it should be at a time of cleanliness. And in that cleanliness, where the husband did not fulfill his conjugal relationship with his wife. So when the 3 menses, so the third menses will finish, now the iddat expires. And according to Shafi's Malikis, so 3 periods of cleanliness. So when the 3rd period of cleanliness finishes, so you must remember, then we will say the iddat finishes. If, for example, the husband gave the talaq fil hayth, in while the wife was in menses, we will say that that is sinful, but the talaq is still valid. And that menses will not be counted. It will be beside that one there, another 3 menses, especially according to the Hanafis and the Hanbali school. So we need to understand all those finer points as well. So the first one will be called talaqul raji. Second one will be called also talaqul raji. That is, if you gave 1 or 2. If the husband gave 3 talaq, fil majalis, at different times, different places, 1 2020, 1 in 2018, then 1 now 2021. So on that, there's consensus and ijma that you must remember that the 3 talaqs are valid. There's no 2 opinions on that. But what happens if he gave 3 talaqs in writing or verbally, orally, and it is fi majlis in wahid at one time? So remember, it's still 3 talaq. We don't accept Trinity like the Christians. We will say he had 3 bullets, he used all 3. So he can't blame the ulama or any organization. He must blame himself that he used it. And therefore Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam was so upset when people would use it like that. In fact, there's a hadith, you must remember, in Sunan Sa'id bin Mansur, that Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu used to say when he was Khalifa, if any husband gave 3 talaq one time, it will be 3, but bring him here, and I will punish him, and I will cause him much, much pain. So it shows that 3 talaq, a triple divorce as they call it, will take place, will be valid, but it is undesirable and sinful. You're supposed to do things in the proper manner and not be reckless and careless. But all 3 talaqs will take place. That is the consensus of Sahaba from time of Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu. That is consensus of the 4 schools, Shafi'is, Malikis, Hanafis, Hanbalis. Any organization, Cape Town, Durban, Johannesburg, overseas, says 3 talaq is 1, we reject it totally, ka'in and mankan. Whoever it is, can be Mufti Sahib, Grand Mufti Sahib, the government, we speak with Quran and Sunnah Mubarakah and Sahaba and the 4 schools. That is Sharia. Not what today people are bootlicking their governments and politicians and so forth, and therefore we don't rely on those type of fatwa and verdicts. So that's another issue. So that will be 3 talaq, you call it talaqul mughallaza, you call it, you must remember, Bainunatul Kubra. So various names you must remember. Then you get another type of talaq, and that talaq is called talaq-e-ba'in. So talaq-e bain will be, the easy definition will be, where the husband and wife, they're arguing, and the wife, husband told the wife, get out from here, go to your mother's place, and you pack your bags up and go, and so forth. What we call ambiguous words, al-alfazul kinaya. So you must remember ambiguous words, unclear words. So what? Does the talaq take place or not? It depends. You must remember that. That is that, did he make intention of talaq? So he must be very, very clear. We can tell him to take an oath, because the husbands will just lie nowadays, you know. So if he's lying, then remember that every moment he's going to spend with his wife in future, it will be under the curse of Allah. Especially if he gave 3 talaq and he made intention of 3. So where the husband use words like that, then tahtaju ila niyya. We have to ask him what was his intention and motive at that time there. If he says that there was no intention of talaq and divorce, it was just a moment of madness and anger, so then the nikah is still valid. And next one, if he says that he made intention of talaq, 1 talaq or 2 talaq or 3 talaq, then all 1 or 2 or 3, whatever intention he made, that will take place. Another question that comes is, can a lady, can she issue talaq and divorce? She can issue talaq and divorce fi suratin wahida in one case. We call that tafweezu talaq. The tafweez means when you delegate, you hand over something. How the Quran Sharif teaches us, surah 40, verse 44, وَأُفَوِّدُ أَمْرِي إِلَى اللَّهِ. I hand over my matters to Almighty Allah. People are plotting, planning, scheming against us. You say, Ya Allah, I'm handing over my matters to you. إِنَّ اللَّهَ بَصِيرٌ بِالْعِبَادِ. Allah Jalla Wala is all observing over the servants. The next verse for us, chapter 4, surah 40, verse 45. Surah 40, verse 45. فَوَقَاهُ اللَّهُ سَيِّئَاتِ مَا مَكَرُوا. Allah will protect that person from the plotting, planning, scheming of those people who are plotting and planning. So when the husband and wife, let's give an example. The husband, the boy, came to the girl and said, I want to marry you, this, that. The lady is happy, her parents are happy, everything. But they're also concerned that maybe this guy will get married afterwards to a second wife. Or maybe, as we know in today's world, Allah protect us, save us, that maybe he goes on drugs or alcohol, or maybe, you know, he gets involved in adultery. So she says, fine, I'll accept. But I want a contract. And the contract is this, that if you take a second wife after marrying me, or you get involved in drugs and alcohol, Allah forbid, or you get involved with another lady, adultery, then she will have the right of talaq as well. So the husband-to-be, he says, fine, I agree with these conditions. So during the nikah time, both of them sign on this, and they agree to these conditions and so forth. So if and when that happens, she can exercise the right of talaq, whether it's 1, 2, or 3, whatever they agreed on mutually, amicably. So that is what you call tafweezu talaq. The husband delegated the right of talaq to his wife as well. And remember, he also still maintains and retains the right of talaq. It doesn't mean only the wife. The husband still has the right as well. So in that case there, remember, it will take place. So this in a nutshell is what we should understand, the different types of talaq.
Mufti Sahib, if there is absolutely no hope for the marriage to continue, then should talaq be used? And if so, then what is the method to do it?
You must remember that if that marriage has broken down, as they say, irretrievably, and there's no way that you can make, you understand, headway here, both parties' hearts have become toxic. Both people are totally now finished, they say that I can't stand it anymore and so forth, Allah forbid. So we will say, even at that late juncture, you must practice on Quran, Surah 65, verse 1, Ya ayyuhan Nabi, Allah Jalla Wala addresses Mustafa Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. But see the beauty, the rhetoric, the balagha, the glory of the Quran. Then the word changes, إِذَا تُلَّقْتُمُ النِّسَى. when you the ummah, you issue talaq to your wife. So it shows Allah Jalla Wala wants us to know what is the teaching of Almighty Allah, what is the preaching of Mustafa Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. So when you give the talaq and issue it, فَطَلِّقُوهُنَّ لِعِدَّتِهِنَّ, so then you issue one talaq only, not two, not three. You give one talaq only, and that also in the period of cleanliness, and that also there should be witnesses, that is highly recommended, desirable. And remember, then you start counting the iddat. And sometimes absence make the heart grow fonder. So both parties now will continue with their lives and say, you know what, there are ma'asum, innocent children involved. Or if there's no children, you know what, we still got chance. It's only one talaq, so why not we reconcile? So if they reconcile in the iddah, during the iddah, then two talaqs are still left and no need for new nikah. If the iddah expires, now after 6 months, 1 year, 2 years, they want to reconcile. So remember, then a new nikah will be performed, and they will only have two talaqs left. So these are issues that still Islam is giving you a chance to reconcile. So if you gave one or two talaq and so forth. However, what is happening in our society nowadays, whether it's South Africa, India, Pakistan, here in the West, or in, you know, Arab countries and so forth and so on. Let's just use this as a case study. ABC is a husband. XYZ is the wife. And now the husband gave his wife the three talaq, right? So when he gave the three talaq and so forth, now he says, no, it was in anger and so forth and so on. So now they can't reconcile because they're haram for one another. This is clear in the Quran, Surah 2, verse 230. فَإِنْ طَلَّقَهَا فَلَا تَحِلُّ لَهُ مِنْ بَعْدُ حَتَّى تَنْكِحَ زَوْجًا غَيْرًا. If you gave the third talaq, then she can't be halal for you until after the iddah she marries somebody else. Then that somebody else has to consummate the marriage, all these type of things. So now the iddah finishes, then she is now ready to get married to somebody else. So the second nikah must be a nikah at dawam, forever. Not this hit and run business that one day, 1 week, and you know, few hours, like the kuffar, Shia with their muta and prostitution. That definitely is not halal at all. Nabi alayhi salatu salam's authentic hadith mentioned in Tirmidhi, La'ana Allahul muhallila wal muhallala lahu. Allah Ta'ala's curse is on the first husband and the second husband, and she will not be halal for the first husband, where they made all these agreements. He went to his friend and so forth. The other day I was here in the one masjid. One chap is about 60, 65, above 60. He told me, you know what? That husband there, he told me he gave his wife three talaq. And then he came to me and said that I must now make nikah with his wife. But after 2-3 days, then I sleep with her, whatever. Then he must give her talaq and so forth. So I asked him what you said. He said, no, I'm still thinking. I say, istikhara. I said, no istikhara, bye. Allah's curse is on you if you go ahead with this, and she will not be halal for the first husband. Remember, that is the fatwa according to all four schools. Shafi'is, Maliki's, Ambali's, where you make this pre-arrangements, they're not halal. She's not halal for the first husband. What the people call halala. And Hanafi's fatwa, we pass on Sahibain, on Imam Abu Yusuf, Imam Muhammad's verdict, she will not be halal. So therefore, we must be very, very clear. They call this in Islamic terminology nikahut tahleel. Nikahut tahleel is abrogate, is not allowed, is cursed in Islam. Mut'ah of the Shias, so remember the way the Shias do it, that was never ever permissible in Islam. So you must remember that prostitution. So Islam came to teach us a proper way of life, no all this hit and run business. So we must be very, very clear on this issue.
We welcome our listeners back to this program. We have a question, Mufti Sap, with the discussion of the Pepuda bell with the discussion of the Papuda Bill, the issuing of divorce will be under the spotlight. It then cannot be the prerogative of the husband to issue a divorce. How do Muslims mitigate against this?
Obviously, there's just a bill and all that. We will all oppose it, and we are opposing it. And if need be, we'll have to go to court also. So don't ask things that are still not in law and all these type of things there. That is what is called fima la yaqa'u. In Islam, you mustn't ask things that are still not a reality. Things you might think might still happen and all that. So that's irrelevant question.
Mufti Sahib, how should one register one's marriage?
You must remember, in our South African context, it's wajib, compulsory to register your marriage ANC. ANC got nothing to do with a political party. That is ANC, anti-nuptial contract, excluding, without the accrual system. So that is how you must register your marriage. Why should you register that way? So when you draw up your Islamic will, so then there'll be no problems. The problem arises, some people, because of ignorance or whatever else the reason was, that they went and already registered their marriage, COP, community of property. Now what do you do in a case like that? So the easiest thing is you tell the wife that she must divorce the husband, or even if the husband divorces the wife, it will be ending the civil marriage. The nikah will still be valid. It will have no impact, not on the marriage itself, the nikah itself. And in a case like that, then you re-register. But the problem with this is you have to go through the lawyers, attorneys, advocates, and so forth. You can't just do it. So there's money, big money involved. You have to pay and all that. So it's better you do it that way there. Another way you can do it, but there are loopholes, then you have a joint will. For husband and wife, you have one will. If you are married, community of property, you register it like that. So, but remember, the surviving spouse, if they want to go and contest it in court, so they can do that. So, because that the documents are all in their favor. And another option will be that the husband and wife say, fine, let us become partners in everything, 50-50. And that will be in assets and liabilities. But that also is not a good option, because you must remember, many a time the husband will leave a trail of debts, and the wife will end up paying all this if the husband passes away before her. So therefore, the only real option, practical option, will be that a divorce takes place. In this sense, the nikah is still valid, that is your civil marriage, so that you finish it up. Wife can divorce husband, or husband wife, your nikah is still valid, and thereafter you re-register. And when you re-register, then you register ANC, anti-nuptial contract, excluding, without the accrual system.
Mufti Sahib, we know we are facing a high percentage of divorce cases. Can Mufti Sahib please elaborate on the causes of these divorce cases?
The biggest cause for this is ana khairum min. You must remember, is the pride and the arrogance of both parties or one party. So the husband tells his wife, you must do my way, otherwise you catch the highway. Or the wife is dominating and says, no, you must do it this way and this way and so forth. So that is one of the major reasons, our own pride and arrogance. If you want unity in life, then three things you have to do. Number one, unity comes about on a haqq, on truth. You can't have unity on batil. So remember that. Watawaso bil haqq. And then second, you want unity, you have to exercise patience and sabr. Watawaso bil haqqi, watawaso bil sabr. And the third one is, there must be tawadu. Tawadu means husband has to give in some time, wife has to give in some time, and you can't be saying everything must be your way and so forth. So these are the three vital ingredients, and then the marriage will flourish. But either if you don't have haqq, or either you don't have patience, or you don't have humility and tawadu, then you're on collision course. And always make dua, ya wadudu, ya wadud, rabbana hablana min azwajina wa dhurriyatina qurrata ayun, allahumma allif baina qulubina. It's not marriage, it's just the bodies must meet, the hearts have to meet. Allahumma allif baina qulubina. When the hearts meet, there's unity of thought, and then both parties are going in the same direction. connection. So that is how things will work. I always say, in the bliss of marriage, that marriage can be a bed of roses. Or Allah forbid, marriage can be a bed of thorns as well. So we should see, sometimes the wife is over demanding, as you want so much money. Sometimes the husband, remember, he is too miserly and stingy. He doesn't want to spend and so forth. Oh, the husband has betrayed the wife, that he's busy with his secretary, he's busy having affairs and so forth. Or the wife is guilty and she is having her affairs, or both have become khabith, al-khabithatu lil-khabithin. Then you see, you must remember that we don't have salat, we don't have ta'aleem, we don't have all these things. Quran is teaching us, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ سَيَجْعَلُ لَهُمُ الرَّحْمَنُ وُدَّ. That verily, when you have true iman and righteous deeds, then remember, Rahman, Almighty Allah, will bring the love between the parties. So when we practice on that, we will see things will change for the better, inshallah. So anyway, that there is no doubt about it, that what's happening today is totally unacceptable. And another thing is simplicity. We want to mimic the life of the West. What you see on TV, Hollywood, Bollywood, Robin Hood, Shaitan Hood, now that they want in their house. So once you got a false value system, then remember, your life also becomes artificial. And that is why you find so many problems. If the wife just makes little bit sabr, you know, our parents, grandparents, when they used to get, I'm speaking of 30, 40, 50, 60 years ago, they used to get their daughters, sisters, granddaughters married, they would say, Beti, that's the daughter, you going? So make sure your janaza also come out from that house there. Today they already tell the daughter, if they tell you nonsense, or that mother-in-law tell you nonsense, you just tell me and I'll come fetch you. Now imagine in Inqilab-e Zamana how things have changed. So already you send your daughter with a negative frame of mind. You must not take anything from your mother-in-law, her nonsense and so forth and so on. So already, you know, and then every day they want to phone. These phones have caused so many problems. The mother phones the daughter every day. What happened? MTU, ITU. It must just be sometime is an argument took place between husband and wife, and that thing will explode and exaggerate it, because women, they must add masala. And the men also will add masala. So it's a very bad thing, this. My own family, I always tell them, phone once a week, what you have to phone every day. But who will listen? So you must remember this, because especially nowadays you got Barkati line, you know, free minutes and free calls and all these type of things. So that's where all the shaitaniyat comes in. Allah protect us.
Ameen. Mufti Sahab, a couple got divorced. What happens to the possessions that they both owned and they both used?
That's a very good question. You must remember the Quran Sharif addresses that in Surah 4, Surah Nisa, verses 20, 21, 22. وَآتَيْتُمْ إِحْدَاهُنَّ قِنْطَارًا. When you, the husband, you gave your wife millions. Qintara means al-amwalu al-kathira. You gave her crooked coins, you gave her cash, you gave her clothing, you gave her property. فَلَا تَأْخُذُوا مِنْهُ شَيْئًا. Now you divorced her, you cannot take back 1 cent also. Allah says, how can you take back? Are you crazy? أَتَأْخُذُونَهُ بُهْتَانًا وَإِثْمًا مُبِينًا وَكَيْفَ تَأْخُذُونَهُ وَقَدْ أَفْضَى بَعْضُكُمْ إِلَى بَعْضٍ وَأَخَذْنَا مِنْكُمْ مِيثَاقًا غَلِيظًا. If you only understood the glory, the beauty, the style of the Arabic language, Allah says you enjoyed one another, you deflowered her, she made the sacrifice, she left her parents' home, she left her siblings, she came there to spend the remainder of her life with you, and now you have the audacity, still you want to demand things she must give back to you, totally haram. Hadith in Bukhari Sharif, Habibuna Rahmatulil Alameen sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Al-a'idu fi hibatihi kal-kalbi ya'udu fi qay'ihi. When you gave a gift to a person, yeah, in this instance your wife, she is the giftee, she is the recipient, and now after 6 months, 1 year, 5 years, 10 years, you tell her, give back the mahar, give back the jewelry, give back the money, give back the clothing. Your example is like a dog. That's the example Nabi alayhi salam is giving. Your example is like a dog. And the dog vomits and goes and lick the vomit. So you're doing the same thing there. Totally haram for you to do so. The only time it will be permissible is one case. You have talaq, where the husband issues the divorce, that is verbally or in writing. And second will be khula. Look at the beauty of Quran. In Surah 2, verse 187, Allah says, "Hunna libasul lakum wa antum libasul lahun." That look at the glory of the Quran. The clothing, we are wearing clothing, so we are feeling cold. We wear jersey, we wear our jars, our overcoat, and so forth. So remember that you cover all your scars and wound and whatever. So marriage is that. Husband, wife must be near one another. They bring about body heat. You must remember they bring about comfort to one another. And Quran teaches us, Nabi Musa alayhi salam, فَخَلَعْنَا عَلَيْكَ إِنَّكَ بِالْوَادِ الْمُقَدَّسِ تُوَى. Remove your sandals, ya Nabi Musa alayhi salam. So khula. So where the wife is the guilty party, she don't want to read salat, she don't want to dress modestly, she don't want to cook, she just want to run around with the car and shopping and moving around by the malls and meeting Paul and somebody, Allah forbid. So the husband says, you know, I did so many things that you are my wife and so forth, but you don't want anything, so you don't want to change for the better. So he won't give talaq, the husband, until she comes give something back. So she'll return the mahar or whatever they agree on. But they can't make crazy demands. Bring a Ferrari and a Lamborghini and all that. So that's haram, all that. So what you gave her, so that amount you say give back or something like that, both parties agree. So then the wife will return it, the husband will give the talaq. The difference between talaq and khula is, talaq the husband issues and he does not get anything in exchange, no compensation. Khula is where you must remember the husband issues the talaq, but the wife is in the wrong. She is the guilty party. So there, the cash or the kind, whatever they agree on, she will return it and the husband issues the talaq. Is talaq a buy-in? Talaq a buy-in means that if they want to reconcile, even during the iddat, remember that they can reconcile, but a new and fresh nikah must be performed. Even after the iddat expires, then a fresh and new nikah must be performed. And then you have fasakh. Fasakh is where the husband is in the wrong, that he is having a string of affairs, he's not giving maintenance for the wife or children, and he's just sleeping all day, the wife is working. So remember, in a case like that, the wife is fed up now, oh way, he's assaulting her, hitting her, and so forth, Allah forbid. So in a case like that, he does not want to issue talaq, and she must not go for khula because she is the innocent party. So in a Muslim country, she will go to the qazi, the judge, magistrate, and apply for fasakh. Or in our country, she will go to the ulama and apply for fasakh, the tribunal. They will have a court case. They must hear both sides' story. Then they will see the husband is guilty. They will tell him that you issued a talaq. He says no. Then as a last resort, they will then issue the ruling of fasakh, annulment of marriage. Then they, as a committee or a, you know, as a, this thing, what we'll call tribunal, they will have the overriding powers and then the annulment will take place. So it shows that there are ways and means. Islam does not say that the woman must stay there and become, you know, the boxing bag of the husband, as happens sometimes nowadays. So all that is totally haram. We must find ways and means. Either they reconcile with justice. See, Quran says, فَإِمْسَاكُمْ بِمَعْرُوفٍ أَوْ تَسْرِيحٌ بِإِحْسَانٍ. That either you keep her with ma'roof, that you treat her properly, or you release her and you give her gifts and presents and so forth, so that you cushion the blow, and meaning you make life easier for her. So that is the beauty of Islam.
Mufti Sabed, the husband was under the influence of alcohol and in that state he divorced his wife. Does this talaq come into effect?
Yes, 100%. The talaq will be valid, and that is the verdict of majority scholars. That, remember, marriage is a bounty. And a ni'matullah tanalu bil mahzoor. So now you can't say no, that person was drunk, intoxicated, does that, so now the talaq don't take, it'll take place. You must remember that. So he'll be punished also. That for the drunkenness and so forth, 80 lashes you must be given. And then the talaq, whether he uttered it in the right, wrote it out or he uttered it, so all that will be valid. That is the verdict of majority scholars as well.
Mufti Sabin, is it in every situation that talaq brings the wrath of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or are there exceptions?
No, obviously there will be exceptions. You must remember, you see among Sahaba and that talaq took place. So you can't say every case. We will say that in most instances. But sometimes the wife is a guilty party and so forth. She don't want to read salat, she don't want to listen and so forth. And that, so if the husband issues talaq, Allah forbid, so remember that the wife will be the guilty party, not the husband. So you can't say always that the wrath and anger will come on the husband. You will say in most cases.
Mufti Sahib, a person was having a chat with himself, and in that chat he was like addressing his wife, and he says, "You divorced." Does the talaq take place?
So if he uttered it and there was movement and so forth of his tongue, with just thoughts in his mind, that means nothing. But if he uttered it, he wrote it out, then the talaq will take place. Therefore, Nabi alayhi salatu salam warned us about this. Salasun jidduhunna jiddun wa hazluhunna jiddun. Three things seriously is seriously, and jokingly also is seriously. One is a nikah. You know, today they have concert, they have a play. So the boy is there, the girl is there, the witnesses are there, the girl's father is there, and they say, yes, we give permission. So the nikah will take place then, because they all are there and they all give permission. Say, no, it's just a joke. And that, no, you can't joke. It's all. Therefore, Quran Sharif mentions in this very context, وَلَا تَتَّخِذُوا آيَاتِ اللَّهِ هُزُوًا. Regarding marriage, regarding talaq, divorce, all this, you can't take it as a joke. It's too serious an issue. Then second one will be a talaq, that the husband issued talaq. He said, no, I'm just joking. So it won't be a joke. If he said one is one, if he said two, he said give three is three. So you can't joke. And the third one, a raj'a, where the husband told, now he gave his wife one talaq or two talaq, and then he said, okay, I'm taking you back. So now the wife came, he said, no, I was just joking. So it don't mean that he's joking. So it will be considered that they reconciled. So therefore, Islam is teaching us that these are issues you can't be joking about. As seriously, people's lives, people's emotions, other people's lives are also impacted, children and so forth. So therefore, all these are serious, serious issues.
Mufti Sahib, the husband said if the wife doesn't take a vaccine, then he's going to issue a talaq.
You must remember that nowadays this vaccine issue has become a very, very controversial issue. Otherwise, it's straightforward, you must remember that. But people have a hidden agenda. Either people want to curry favor, you must remember, with politicians, with governments and so forth. Those scholars for dollars, as we see. Even in our country, who's really pushing for it? You will see it's the same group are pushing for it, and they will have programs on TV and radio and so forth, with the same crowd who closed the masajid last year and went to court. So we say they are the friends of the court and the enemies of Almighty Allah, the enemies of Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So we need to be clear, our deen, we don't curry favor with anybody, any organization, any politician, any government. Number two is this, everybody knows that these vaccines, what are they? You must remember they are experimental. So how many people are taking it, getting more sick or dying and all that? Oh, you must remember, in certain countries that they have told the people that, you know, that these type of things, you can't even fly after taking the vaccine. You take Australia and so forth. So, because it causes blood clots and what and so forth. So our fatwa is this, that is not permissible, it's haram to take it. Number one, it's experimental. Number two, the ingredients are questionable. Number three, it's harmful for one person. Israel, you go read the Haaretz newspaper. Israel is one of the first countries there to buy the maximum amount of those vaccines. And 90%, 80%, 70%, whatever you want to, whether you include the Palestinians or not. So anyway, majority of the people, they gave them the vaccine. Now what do they see? They see that it's having an adverse effect, especially on the youth. And that is now really worrying them. What's going to do? We cause harm to our own youth. We will say the punishment from Almighty Allah. So you must, let's go see in the Haaretz newspaper. So therefore, you must remember this, that you will see if you read the doctors and all that in Islam, it means nothing that. You must remember, this doctor said, that doctor said, this professor said. That's not dalil and evidence in Islam. Evidence in Islam. Last year they closed the masjid based on the doctors, and then they had an egg on their faces. So they all know what happened. Their own people are cursing and swearing them and so forth. So you must remember, when we speak from Quran Sharif, speak from Sunnah Mubarakah, speak from the fatawa of Sahaba, speak from the four schools of thought. Don't come and hoodwink the public and so forth and so on. So what makes me laugh in all this, they have the Maulvis and Muftis and all of them, or they'll have doctors, but they won't have no one opposing them. If you want an academic discussion, then you must have both sides of the group, not one side. So, I mean, how's that now? So that's just, you know, it shows how shallow you are and how frightened you are. So you must remember that. Why you don't bring opposing doctors, opposing ulama? Because you'll take them to shreds. You must remember this type of things here. So that is what's happening today. Simple it is that we reject the fatawa, whether it's the Arab ulama, they are grand muftis or mufti, or our Maulvis, we say these are ulama esu, evil ulama who are carrying favor just with their people and so forth. Therefore, it's foolish of you as a husband to threaten your wife with talaq and so forth if she doesn't take the vaccine and so forth. It's haram for you to give that ultimatum to your wife and not permissible in Islam. Okay, now we got, mashallah, the news with Brother Yusuf Ali, and thereafter that we will have Mufti Muhammad Saeed Mutar. Nice topic here. What does Islam say regarding illness and death? Then 1 o'clock, mashallah, will be the adhan, and thereafter the report back, our trip to Trichardt. 1:30 to 2, we go to the archives, and that is Surah Anfal, verses 31 to 33. Then 2 to 3, Mona Zahid Khan, and inshallah, Madrasa on air. 3 to 3:30 will be the repeat of this morning's Q&A. Very interesting it was. You must listen to it. 3:35 to 5, inshallah, Mawlana Sheikh Zahir Mahmood, he speaks of Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anh. 5 to 7 will be, inshallah, Mawlana Khalid Yaqub from the Durban studio. 7 to 7:30, the repeat of last week's khutbah, the translation and the dua. Then 7:30 to 8 will be Mawlana Yunus Patel, rahimahullah. 8 to 10 will be Mawlana Salim Karim and Mawlana Arafat. 10 to 11 tonight will be Mawlana Ridwan Qaji. So remember, tonight is Laylatul Badr, the full moon, and it is Laylatul Jumu'ah. So read Surah Kahf, read abundant Durood Sharif, and make dua for the Ummah. Barakallahu feek. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
We say Jazakumullah to Mufti Sahib and to all our listeners. We head on to the news now with Yusuf Ali. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Merkez Sahaba Online Radio, serving you wherever you are.